Sometimes parables are hard to understand. Sometimes we're trying to figure out exactly what the point is. Well, Jesus gave us the point of this parable in verse 1. Luke gives us the point of this parable as well. It says in verse 1 that they ought always to pray and to not lose heart. Ought is a word that is must. It's something that is necessary. It's something we should do. We should pray that we not lose heart. To lose heart just means to become discouraged. You ever prayed for something for a while and just got discouraged and stopped? Maybe prayed for somebody for years and then just kind of fizzled out. You ever prayed about a certain thing with passion and zeal and fervor, and you just didn't get the answer you wanted? You know, it's been said rightly that God always answers every prayer. Sometimes yes, sometimes no, sometimes not yet. Sometimes not how we had hoped, but He always answers. He was reminding His disciples of the necessity of prayer and faith in the Christian life. He gives us this story that would have been pertinent in this day, okay, about a widow and a judge. I want to ask you to go back in time with me, right? When you hear judge, you might picture the courthouse in DeSoto County at Hernando. You might picture a courtroom. When you hear widow, you might picture Social Security or things that are in place today to care for those that retire or in need. Medicaid, Medicare, none of that existed back then. A judge would have been traveling. He would have been itinerant, going from place to place. They would have set up his tent in the post that he was going to, and there would have been people there that would have been like clerks that would have chose who gets to see the judge today and who doesn't. And in this day and time, a widow represents someone who did not have social clout or standing. Not great legal representation. She probably didn't have the resources to smooth the way to make sure the judges got to see her case. Certain city, not named, verse 2, there was a judge. How is he described? He didn't fear God, and he didn't respect people. He was unrighteous, and he wasn't worried about the consequences of his judgments. He didn't worry what other people thought. Didn't matter. He was still the judge no matter what. He was in it for himself. Was not worried about one day standing before God and giving an account to his judgments. And this widow had to go before him and plead her case. I don't know what the case was, but there was injustice. She had an adversary, an opponent of law that had done her wrong. And it seems clear that she had been done wrong. But the judge didn't care. Now, judges get jaded, right? They see a lot of bad in people and probably gets hard to trust folks. But I don't think that's the situation here. This guy was not worried about right and wrong in God's eyes, and he wasn't concerned what other people thought about him. I mean, can you imagine a more terrible judge to have to stand before? He doesn't care about justice. But he's the one you have to go to get the help that you need. There's nowhere else to go. Can you imagine being this widow lady? Persistence is her only hope to wear him down. She just kept coming, verse 3, saying, "Give me justice. Execute right. Avenge me against my adversary." But verse 4 says the judge didn't care. He just kept refusing to give her justice. And it went on for a while. And she just kept coming. Don't you love her tenacity? Reminds me of another widow I know. And he just kept, she kept coming, and he kept refusing. Verse 4, but she finally wore him down. He said to himself, that's how you know she got him. She got this guy talking to himself. He's aware of his stance. I don't fear God. I don't care what other people think about me. But dadgummit, this lady's driving me nuts. I'm just going to give her what she wants so she'll leave me alone. I got to get her off my back. She had this guy finally willing to do the right thing. It's not like he really cared, but he just was worn down. He said, because this widow keeps bothering me, or the CSB says, keeps pestering me. He concluded, I'll give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. So, great example. She beat him down with her persistence. This wasn't about right and wrong. It wasn't about justice in the eyes of God, or not about defending the weak. It actually, it seems like in this parable, it became a battle of the wills, and the widow won. And now, Jesus is drawing his conclusion in verses 6 through 8. He's making his point. He's landing the plane, if you will. Verse 6, the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. You see the contrast here? I think this is going to help unlock the parable for you. It was a very common teaching style back in the day to take comparisons, something lesser, and then make a greater argument, okay? So this unrighteous judge does the right thing even though it wasn't for the right reason. But that's not how God is. God is righteous, and God does justice because he is a God of justice. God does avenge for the weak and those who have been mistreated. God does hear us when we pray to him if we are his children. He acts on our behalf for our good out of love and benevolence. There's a contrast here between this unrighteous judge and our righteous heavenly Father. Verse 7, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Who are the elect? Those that are in Christ. There's a popular TV series going around called The Chosen. The chosen are the elect. CSB says, instead of elect, chosen ones. That's what the word means, to be chosen. And he says, will God not give justice to his chosen ones, to those who belong to him, to those who have been saved, to those who have trusted Christ. And they cry to him. That is desperation. You cry to God because where else will you go? This widow had to go to this judge. It was her only option. We cry to him desperately. How often? Day and night, persistently. Question for you. Are you desperate for God? Is he who you run to? Is he who you cry to? Day and night, whether you're waking or sleeping or lying down to go to sleep. When you wake up at 4 a.m. and something's on your mind, is your instinct to cry to God? He must have had me wake up for this particular situation. Have you ever done that and then later someone told you what they were going through at the exact time that God woke you up to pray for them? Y'all, this is not hocus pocus. This is real deal sovereignty of God choosing to use our prayers to accomplish his purposes. And we run to him, whether it means something that we praise him about. You're driving down the road in the morning and you see a beautiful sunset and it prompts you to praise God as the creator and the one who actually made us in his image, gave us emotions and spirits and eyeballs to be able to see and brains to compute and hearts to enjoy his creation. Or you see a wreck or you hear about a tragedy and you're prompted to pray, or your child is sick and there's nowhere else to go and you run to God. You cry to him persistently. Verse 7, Jesus says, God will give justice. He will bring about justice. He will grant justice. Justice is vengeance. It's punishment. It means to avenge. It means to vindicate. Jesus is coming back one day. And when he does, the Bible teaches that he will make all things right. Y'all believe that? You ever suffered an injustice? Treated wrongly? These disciples that he's talking to, y'all remember how they fled, they scattered like sheep without a shepherd when Jesus was arrested and crucified? But do you remember after they saw the resurrected king, they saw that he died and they saw him face to face, that he had been risen from the grave, that he is exactly who he said he was and he did what he came to do, how they would not renounce Christ? They suffered. They were killed. They were sawn in two. They were burned at the stake. They were stoned and beaten with clubs. They were stabbed with spears. They were crucified upside down. Jesus is going to make all things right. He's going to be coming again, and he will bring justice. Isn't it crazy? I think it's very telling. Before the crucifixion, they scattered. But after the resurrection, they could not be stopped. They had seen the resurrected Jesus with their own eyes. All they had to do was say, I lied, it's not true, and they would not have died. But they could not renounce him. They knew it was true. And he's telling them, I'm going to come back and make it right. And verse 7, I figure it's a good time to talk about the elect a little bit, the chosen ones. It means to be selected, to be picked out. Those in Christ have been chosen, have been loved, have been forgiven, have been adopted into the family of God. Earthly adoption is such a beautiful picture of our spiritual adoption. Some people have children born to them naturally, and some people have the privilege of adopting people into their home. Children that are absolutely 100% children of part of the family. But we're chosen. We're picked. We're brought into that family, adopted. In John chapter 6, verse 44, Jesus told his disciples that no one can come to the Son unless the Father draws them. Our salvation is a gift from God. Take heart. Listen, this is what you need to get, y'all. Don't get bogged down on theology or on different views of what this word means. It clearly means that God wants you in His family. And how much more than this wicked judge who did not care at all about the wicked or the righteous or the marginalized, how much more will this God in heaven who calls you son or daughter, who chose you to be His, not hear you when you cry to Him, who will not speedily come to rescue you when you call on Him? What an amazing truth. We love God because He first loved us. Romans says that no one seeks after God. You know what that means? Just like Zacchaeus. I love the story of Zacchaeus. He climbs the tree because he can't see over the crowd. He wanted to see Jesus so bad, he ran ahead and he climbed up into the tree so that he could just see Jesus. And then Jesus stopped at the foot of the tree and called him by name and said, "Come down, I'm staying in your house today." And by the end of the story, Zacchaeus is calling Jesus Lord. He's given away half of his possessions to the poor, and he's paying back people four times what he took from them, because his life had been changed by his encounter with Jesus. Now here's the clincher of the story. Zacchaeus climbed that tree because he thought he was seeking Jesus. But Jesus said the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. It was a both and. Zacchaeus climbed the tree because he wanted to see Jesus, but he also climbed the tree because Jesus was coming for him. What a beautiful thing. If you're in Christ, you're chosen. And He will not delay long. He asked a question rhetorically in verse 7. Will He delay long over them? Well, the answer of the rhetorical question is no. He will not put them off. He will give them justice. Verse 8, I tell you, He will give justice to them speedily. Now, if you've been doing this thing for a little while, there's probably been times where you didn't think God was being very speedily. Right? God, it's me again. You know what I'm going to ask? Lord, it seems like it should be Your will. Why is this not happening? Our ways are not God's ways. Our thoughts are not God's thoughts. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord. 1,000 years is like one day. Y'all, listen. In the beginning, God spoke everything into existence. He created the sun and the moon. He created light, night, and day. He created time. You know what that means? It's not just that God knows the future. God's there already. God's not confined by time. He's above it. He made it. He made all of our natural laws that we are governed by. We are stuck here to this ground because of gravity. God made that. He's above all things. He's not restrained by time. He's there already. Yesterday, today, and forever. There. Yeah, I know. I can't get my mind around it either. He's bigger than us. Too big to be completely figured out, but absolutely makes sense when you think about it. His timing, we can trust. If you go back to, Lord, I don't understand why I'm having to wait, but I trust You. I trust Your character. I trust Your faithfulness. I know that You're good, and I know that You're wise. I know that You love me. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, that He laid down a life for His friends. Jesus died for us. Romans 5:8, God proves His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Perhaps someone might die for a righteous person, but we're not even righteous. And Jesus died to save us, to pay our sin debt, and to set us free, to adopt us into His family. He takes our sin and He gives us His righteousness. Yes, He loves you. And we can trust His love. And we can trust His wisdom. And we know that he's working all things. Romans 8, y'all know it? He's trusting, he's making all things to work together for the good of those who love him, who have been called to be conformed into the image of his son. Y'all, everything that we experience is under the sovereignty of God. So, if you can get to the place in your walk where you don't grow weary in praying, but by faith, no matter how long it takes, no matter how hard it is, you take your eyes off of your circumstances and you put them on the author and perfecter of your faith, and you run this race with endurance, trusting in his goodness, trusting in his wisdom, trusting in his sovereignty, then you can have peace that surpasses understanding. That's called peace that doesn't make sense. Now, here's the clincher. We're all tempted to grow weary, right? We all have those little fiery darts every now and then. Does God really care? If God was good, why did this happen? Is this stuff real? Y'all, it does my heart so good to be reminded of the power of the gospel in my life. Preach the gospel to yourself every day. Do you remember who you were before Jesus got a hold of you? Remember the state that you were in? Whether you were a child that was just a little selfish liar. Am I offending you, parents? Or a drug addict, or an alcoholic, or a womanizer, or just a really church-going, trusting in myself person with no peace. Prideful, arrogant, whatever it was. Do you remember how he changed your heart when he called your name? Do you remember the joy that you have because you finally surrendered to the one who created you to enjoy him? Y'all, we're all tempted to lose heart. Jesus said in verse 8, God's going to make all things right. And then he says, nevertheless, or NIV says, however, it's a conjunction, could just be but. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? To find means to meet or discover or detect. Faith is to believe, to trust, it's assurance. He's telling them, always pray. Don't lose heart. Keep the faith. Fan the flame. Don't grow weary. Don't give up. By faith, the elect. Keep praying and trusting God's character and trusting his timing. By faith, we persevere and we wait for him to come back, and we know that he's going to make all things right. Faith produces steadfast, prayerful, faithful endurance. Y'all, I'm going to be honest. Prayer is a huge theme, but in this passage, I don't think it's the main point. I think it's so much more about us persevering by faith through prayer as we wait for Jesus to return and we wait for him to bring justice. We pray. We don't lose heart by what we see or experience in this physical realm. We walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Don't walk just by sight. Walk by faith. We trust God no matter what. And he gives us peace that surpasses understanding, according to Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. What is faith? Y'all read Hebrews 11, the hall of faith? Hebrews 11, 1 says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is confidence in God, trust in Him and what He has said, that He's going to do what He said He's going to do. Faith is confidence. Faith produces good works. Don't get it backwards. We're not saved by doing good works. We're saved to do good works. Ephesians chapter 2. If this unrighteous judge did the right thing, how much more will your heavenly Father, who loves you, who chose you, who forgave you, who adopted you, who gives you eternal life, not do good for you? This parable was to show his disciples that they should always pray and not give up. Prayer keeps us from discouragement. We pray to not lose heart. Y'all, prayer is actually, think about it, an expression of faith. You're talking to a God that you don't see by faith. You're praying. When I see someone come to Christ, I'm like, look, there's no magic prayer. Say this, say that, say this formula. It's an act of faith to pray to God for the first time and say, God, I want to know you. God, I don't see you, but I know you got to be real. I trust you to hear me and to answer me. Prayerlessness is actually an expression of a lack of faith, of self-reliance. Think about it. We pray because of our faith. We pray by faith. But if we're not praying, that means we're trusting in somebody else, trusting in something else. So you got this contrast of prayerful endurance versus losing heart. This contrast of an unrighteous judge that didn't care. This contrast of a widow that had no social standing. This contrast of a ruling out of selfish motives with the contrast of a righteous judge that does care. God's chosen ones whom He loves. Confidence that God always does what is good. So what are we going to take away from this? How are we going to land this plane? Prayer keeps our focus on God. Prayer is an act of faith. God loves us and He answers our prayer. Remember Philippians 4. You don't have to worry about things out of your control. You just have to trust God that He is in control and that He's good and faithful. You can have peace instead of anxiety. You can have peace instead of wearisome. You can go to God with all of these things, with thankfulness and supplication and prayer. Faith in God will promote more prayer, and prayer will promote more faith in God. Y'all ever seen an answered prayer so clear? There's no doubt in your mind it was God. You know what I'm talking about? You ever experienced that? So let me ask you a question as we chew on this. As meditate on it. When you go home today, when you lay in bed at night, what blocks faith in prayer? What keeps us from praying? What keeps us from trusting God? I think often it's just our focus, walking by sight, living for this temporal world, bank accounts and worldly things that we trust in, trusting in another person, walking by sight. Focusing on temporal things, living in sin, living in rebellion to God, robs our faith and our focus on Him. Not pursuing the Lord and His Word. Guys, listen to me, please, every day. Every day, spend time with the Lord in His Word. Spend time with Him in prayer. Get to know his character more and more. Get to know who he said he is. Y'all, you want to know how to pray by faith? You want to know how to pray through crazy circumstances and deep, deep emotions? Go read the Psalms. Pray through the Psalms. If we don't pursue the Lord and his word, if we cling to materialism or idolatry, if we're hoping in anything other than God, it's going to block faith. It's going to keep us from praying. So how do we apply this? Well, y'all know even doing what we're doing right now, gathering together, helps fan our faith. Singing songs to Jesus, focusing on the Lord and the reality of his kingdom helps us. Getting in your small group and talking with each other and sharing your struggles and praying for each other and sharing the victories and the answered prayers that you've seen will help fan this faith into flame. Feeding the Spirit on a daily basis. Listening to the Bible. When you take a shower, listen to sermons. As you're driving down the road, listen to praise songs. Read the Word every single day. Put your mind on the things of the Spirit. Spending intentional time in the Word and prayer with the Lord every day. Doing it together with other brothers and sisters. Memorizing and meditating on God's Word helps us to know him rightly and to trust him for who he is. Studying his attributes. Y'all ever have questions? You're like, I got a question about this. There's a great website that I enjoy. It's called gotquestions.org. Easy to remember. Gotquestions.org. I read it all the time, and they usually are pretty on point. Type in there. Go to gotquestions.org. What is the character of God? And just read the verses that they give you. Learn who he is. Learn how he has revealed himself to us in his word. Get to know God more, and I promise you, it's a lot easier to trust him for who he is. Pray that you don't grow weary. And if you're weary, pray and ask God for help. Trust his timing. Trust his wisdom. Trust his character. And y'all, here's icing on the cake. One of the things that spurs my faith on the most is sharing the gospel with people. Y'all ever see someone go from death to life? Like the man, the Abraham that John was talking about, that was in a tribe, in a people group that had never heard the name of Jesus, and how this guy's life has been transformed. Y'all, I was walking down the road with a mission team in Zambia. Spare you the details, but we were praying for this village. There's these two old men walking down the road, and they just happened to be talking about what happens when you die. Well, we just happened to be there to tell them. We got into a conversation with them. They didn't speak English. We had a translator. He spoke English and he translated into Bemba. Well, guess what? These two old dudes didn't speak Bemba either. But when we got there, there was a lady, the only believer that we knew of in the whole village, named Melanie. And she was so excited that we were there to tell her village about Jesus. Well, guess what? Melanie didn't speak English. But she did speak her local language, and she also understood Bemba. So here we are. And by the way, I've been a Christian for 9 months. You talking about getting excited about what God can do? Get your passport, get on a plane, and go watch God work in another place in this world. He'll blow your mind. It's a miracle I even had a passport. So we're talking to these old guys from English into Bemba, from Bemba into their local language. From us to Noah, the translator, from Noah to Melanie, to their local language. And I ask these old guys these spiritual questions. Tell them kind of this creation of Christ story that God made everything and he made it good and he created the Garden of Eden. It was everything, perfect harmony between God and man. And then man disobeyed God. And when man disobeyed God, sin entered the world. And now we're separated from God because of our sin. And we have natural disasters and calamities. We live in a fallen world. It's not as it was intended to be in the original design. And all this stuff, how through the ages, God has revealed himself to man. And Jesus came to this earth. God the Son, who has no beginning or end, left heaven and the worship and glory of splendor of heaven to come to this earth and be a man and die in our place and rise from the grave. He's alive today and he calls those who trust in him. And I'm telling them this story. And I get to the end. And we talk about what it means to truly trust God, to call on him by faith, to confess him as our Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. And I ask this old guy, if you were to die today, do you think you'd go to heaven or hell? And he said, heaven. And I was like, wait a minute. I don't know if he understood. Because he just told me he didn't know God. He just told me he didn't know what happens. And now he's saying heaven. And I'm like, why? Why did you say heaven? And he said, because I believe what you said. And I'm confessing Jesus right now as Lord. And I believe that he rose from the grave. And I want him to be my Lord and Savior. Y'all, this stuff, you can't make this stuff up. Melanie just attached herself to our group. We never could have even talked to them if she wasn't with us. Why is it that they were walking down the road discussing what happens when you die? You get out there and share the gospel and you'll find stories like this time and time again. My story. I hated God. I didn't want him to be real. I didn't want to give in. I didn't want to be accountable. But then Dusty started praying from my heart. I didn't even know God was working in my heart. But then I started feeling empty. Something was missing. And I couldn't put my finger on it. Dusty comes to my house to share the gospel. He'd been a Christian for like a month or two. And he was terrified the whole way. God, I'm scared. Help me. Lord, I don't know what to say. Help me. But through those prayers, God had made my heart soft. I was ready to hear what he had to say. A month before, and I'd have cussed him out. And now I'm trying to make myself right, and I know I can't do it. And Dusty shares the gospel, and he shares with me how God had changed his life. And he shares with me how God would change my life, and how I need to quit trying to get right to come to a God that's perfect. And I just need to fall on my face and trust him. And that night is exactly what I did. I can't doubt it, because I remember getting off the ground and feeling the weight of that sin gone. And I remember how the things that I used to live for just would not work anymore. I remember how God changed my heart from the inside out. Do y'all remember that? Y'all remember how he's changed your desires? How he's created you for something so much more than this temporal existence? How you long for eternity to be with him? Endure. Endure by faith. Pray. Don't lose heart. Don't grow weary. Trust his character. His timing is good even when you can't see it. You can trust him because he's worthy of your trust. Would you bow your heads just for a moment? Where are you at today? How does this message land? Do you seek God by faith? Are you in his family? Have you ever come to the place where you realized, I need his forgiveness, and I believe that Jesus died for me and rose from the grave, that he conquered sin and death, is willing to forgive me of all my sin and set me free? Have you done that? Are you living for his kingdom? Are you praying by faith and enduring? Are you weary today? You know, the answer is the same for every situation. It's Jesus. Y'all, you don't have to earn. You don't have to work. You don't have to try harder. You just have to rest in him. And if you're in a place of weariness, he doesn't love you any less. He's not tapping his foot in disappointment. He's calling you to peace right now. If you're in weariness and you've lost heart, you say, God, I'm trusting in something other than you. Please help me to trust you. I see you, God. I trust you, Lord. Help me to have peace. I trust you with whatever the circumstance is. Help me to endure. Help me to persevere. Help me to rest in you. God, give me peace that doesn't make sense. I need you. Whatever it is that he's doing today, here's the invitation. Would you just surrender and trust him and let him have his way? He's good. He's faithful. And he's able. Lord, whatever it is that each of us need, would you do it for us? Would you give us the grace and the faith to trust you? And God, would you help us to be a people that walk in victory by faith, that endure, that don't grow weary-hearted? God, when this world and when our enemy pushes, help us to trust you and your justice that you're going to bring. Lord, would you help us to endure by faith and be persistent until you come? And when you come, Lord, would you find us faithful? In Jesus' name.